I'm Nick.
Back for another one.
Of course.
We just can't help ourselves. It is a rainy day in southeastern Pennsylvania.
It's kind of gross.
A little bit. I got to be out in it earlier for work, and you know, it wasn't too bad at the time, because it's one of those things where it's leading up to rain, and it got really, really humid for about an hour, and then as soon as the rain started, it was a nice cool rain, and the humidity dropped, and it actually felt pretty good. So, isn't that too bad?
Doesn't sound too shabby.
It's good. It's good for sitting on the porch and drinking tea and or coffee.
Yes, I got home from dropping Maddie off at daycare this morning, like literally just as the rain was about to hit. So I avoided that. So I've just been upstairs working while the rain and the thunder have been pouring down, I guess, so to speak.
Yeah, we've been having a lot of fun at work because the building is getting a new roof.
Fun.
But it's such a huge roof on a huge building that, you know, they're doing it in sections. And so there are these little gaps between the sections that they finished and the sections that they're about to start. where there's no seal, like there's no temporary Ooh. Seal or anything like that. So it just starts coming down through those cracks. But
yeah,
it could be worse. It could be worse.
Yeah, I mean, it could be not sealed anywhere, and it'd be much, much worse for that.
So the summer is coming to a close.
Yeah, quickly.
And how are you guys doing with that? So Sophia's not back to school yet.
No, she starts on Monday, so this is our last week of summer break. So we've pretty much technically survived our first, you know, summer with a kid home from school.
Right, and that's a question that has been on the minds of my wife and I a lot lately because, you know, Emma just turned 4, and there's that realization that, oh my god, our kid is going to go to school next year.
Yeah.
And then what are we going to do in the summertime when she has off? Like, how are we going to tackle that? And I know, like, there's camps out there and stuff like that, but, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, what we had to decide, and I mean, honestly, we looked at a lot of different camps, but, and I know we've talked about this before, but most of them are insanely expensive.
Right.
Like, summer camp typically costs more than daycare is going to cost, you know, for those weeks or, you know, months that they're in there. So what we did, we looked around at a lot of them, tried to figure out, you know, what we were going to do, what worked best. Typically with camps, you have to pay up front the entire cost.
Right.
So if you're sending your kid to camp for 2 months, that could be $2,000. You know, for those 2 months, you got to have that money, you know, in your pocket to pay out by the time camp starts, which is tough.
Yeah.
So, you know, we kind of banked as much of our vacation time as we could, so we could, you know, not send her to camp for the entire summer.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know we've talked about, you know, what we did before, where it was, you know, first week out of school. What did we do the first week? Oh, first week my sister was home from Florida. So she stayed with her for that week, took her and did stuff. The following week, we did our regular vacation. You know, as a family. Got back week of the 4th. Had 3 days we needed covered. My younger sister was off, so she watched her.
Right.
Then she camped for 2 weeks.
I do feel like it's going to be plan as much as possible, but kind of flying by the seat of our pants at the same time.
I mean, we got lucky in that Sophia's school offered a camp.
Right.
And it was a 4-week camp. We decided just to have her do it for 2, just because, you know, I'm not going to pay for the week of the 4th when someone's off.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we were on vacation for another one. So, what was the point? It saved us a ton of money for those 2 weeks. And, you know, half the cost for just sending her for 2. And Sarah and I were lucky enough that we both have enough vacation time where, and our bosses are good enough that we can take off for, you know, 2 weeks out of a month,
right,
in addition to our week of vacation. you know, that we already did. So I'm very thankful for that, because, I mean, it saved us a lot of money.
Yeah.
A lot of money.
And like, at the daycare that Emma is at now, there is a, like, kindergarten age program. So at least for that first year of her being in actual school and then having a summer break, right? At least there is some place for her to go during the summer.
Yeah.
But that's going to change as soon as we're into first grade, which, you know, I'm kind of all, I'm kind of having that typical parent existential crisis about my kid going to school.
Yeah.
And it actually hit me the other day. So I work for the local YMCAs, and they have their summer camp program at the elementary school nearby. And so I was at the elementary school picking up stuff because they were closing out the summer camp program. And so I'm walking through the halls, and I'm just seeing how big the building is and how big the tables are, and just all of a sudden having flashbacks to school of notebooks and, you know, all that jazz. And it's just, I don't know, it triggered my anxiety, man. It triggered it. I am triggered right now.
I mean, it's, you know, we both have another year until, you know, Emma's in kindergarten and Maddie is in kindergarten. So, you know, we have this year to prepare.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, I already went through it, you know, last year with sending Sophia off to kindergarten. I feel a lot more prepared, obviously, now for sending her to first grade. But my worry, like, I see Maddie now. She's going to turn 4 on Monday. And obviously, Emma just turned 4 last week. I'm trying to remember back to Sophia's last year of daycare when they did, you know, the pre-K course. And I'm trying to remember how advanced she was when she started and, you know, where she evolved to.
Right, and then compare where she started to where Maddie is now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Sophia is a February birthday, so she was obviously older, you know, 6 months older at this point in time. So Maddie would be starting school, like, literally when she turns 5.
Right.
Like, probably on her birthday or right before her birthday.
Yeah, I think the first day of school that's planned for next year for us is, I think, September 5th or something like that. I can't remember exactly, but it's only a couple of weeks after her birthday.
Yeah, so there's that concern. I mean, Maddie's really sharp, but, you know, she hasn't written letters, you know, and, I mean, obviously, I know that programs, they're getting ready to start the pre-K one, probably in, like, 1 or 2 weeks.
Yeah.
For when they do move-ups. So it's just, you know, trying to figure out if, in a year, is she going to be ready?
Right.
Or do we hold her back another year where, you know, okay, we got to pay another year of daycare, but then she goes in as a 6-year-old and she's, like, the oldest kid in the class.
And she'll be more prepared.
Yeah, so it's...
And it gives me a lot of flashbacks. Like right now, Emma's already written a couple of letters. And we just got, you know, a new whiteboard for her birthday. And I kind of put some extra focus on it immediately following her birthday. So after the past couple of days. And we've gotten to limited success, but she can write an E.
There you go.
And she can kind of write an M. It's more like a weird squiggle that kind of looks like an M.
Of course, naturally.
And then she's really good at A's. A's she's got down, because we started practicing that. I tried to go through the alphabet with her, like, God, it was probably like 6 months ago. So she can at least spell her name.
Okay.
We're working on that. But, you know, it's weird because it's one of those things where I think going into parenting, we put a certain level of pressure on ourselves to have her ready for these things early on.
Yeah.
So, like, being prepared for this already. And it just makes us think about, like, all the time that we should have spent you know, like she can say the alphabet and she recognizes letters and she recognizes like 1 through 20, that sort of thing.
Right.
But it kind of makes me feel like we should have done more to work with writing letters and writing numbers and, you know, working on sentence structure a little bit.
it's a balancing act because obviously they're supposed to be learning this stuff. Like, you know, we both use the Y, and they try to do as much as they can to, you know, develop their, not just their social skills, but, you know, their brains and their education, you know, that kind of thing, so that they're ready when they would go to kindergarten, which I'm happy with. But it's like, I just remember pre-K with Sophia and walking in and being like, wow, this is what I remember kindergarten being when I was, like, pre-K now is like what kindergarten was. Or, you know, I read a book, like the first day of kindergarten, and it's like, we counted to 10. We colored this. We did that. And I'm like, that is nothing like what Sophia's kindergarten was like at all. I mean, she's taking Spanish, doing technology, you know, math, language arts, you know, that kind of, like, real stuff, not just, like, the play. Like, for me, kindergarten was play.
Right.
You know, like, you're just kind of getting your feet wet, and it's not like that anymore, obviously.
Yeah. It's hanging out with other kids like you did in daycare, but it's starting to get you used to what the situation of school is.
Yeah.
Like, alright, we have to sit on our individual desks, you know, we stand for the Pledge of Allegiance at the beginning of the day, yada yada yada, that sort of thing. Like, it was almost like kindergarten was just getting you ready for everything else.
Yeah, and now,
but
it's...
now it's a lot more advanced.
Yeah, now it's, you know, your education is legit starting in kindergarten. Which isn't bad, but it also goes along the lines of, you know, state testing and those kinds of things where, in my opinion, there's too much focus on that stuff.
Yeah.
And I know that, at least where Sophia goes, you have the option of choosing to not have your kids participate.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that we felt really comfortable with when we were picking basically our house, like where to live, like where she was going to go to school, because, and we kind of got lucky because the there was actually a transition to a new school board, almost completely new school board when we moved here, and the school board before was primarily for the state testing and stuff like that, and now the school board that's in place now is more for, you know, STEM. Sorry.
Okay.
And that sort of thing, and they do want to spend a little bit of, you know, they do want to spend some time on state testing because, to a certain extent, it is effective in certain areas in certain ways. But I think they don't want to put emphasis on that until, like, high school, like 10th, 11th, and 12th grade.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing. So I feel comfortable with the school district that we're in. And, you know, the other thing is, there have been many, many times since she was born where Emma will just, and you know, this is for other kids as well, it's like, from one day to the next, you're not, like, she makes some weird advancement, you know?
Right, yeah.
Like, all of a sudden, one day, it clicks. Like, oh, hey, I can stand upright and walk around. Hey, I can do this really fast. It's called running. You know, that sort of thing. Like, all of a sudden, she just clicks into it and she gets it, and everything works out for her from then on. So I have that certain sense of hope. It's basically fingers crossed that she has my wife's intelligence.
Yes.
But that's if she's super lucky, because she already got my wife's looks. So, if she looks like my wife, and if she's smart like my wife, then you're
solid.
Yeah.
See, this is, you know, obviously talking about school boards and testing and, you know, the education system. Obviously, the current head of the education system down in D.C.
What's her face? Yeah,
yeah, Betsy DeVos. just the way that they're going about things, honestly, terrifies me for the future of education. And that's going from, you know, bottom all the way up. And, you know, it's... education is not something to be fucked with. It's not something to be politicized, in my opinion. So it's really hard to witness that stuff because, frankly, it's bullshit. And I'm not...
It's... You know, it's one of those things where I always keep in mind that there are term limits for a reason.
Yeah.
And that it's an appointed position by, you know, whomever, the president or whoever you want. But I think what makes me the most nervous is that even if worst case scenario, she's the Secretary of Education and you know, injecting her own personal beliefs into the system, that sort of thing, for the next 8 years, worst case scenario. I don't know. I feel comfortable in the fact that it's only going to be for 8 years. And then after that, through, you know, Emma and Sophia and Maddie going through high school and that sort of thing, it will be different, hopefully. It will be transitioning out of anything negative and that sort of thing. And, you know, we are smart enough as parents to also be carrying out our own education at home.
True.
And, you know, we don't have the tendency, or at least, well, I don't know about you, but we don't have the tendency to lie to our kids about stuff that is important in that regard. Like, if Emma comes home from school and asks me, hey, why did we say a prayer before lunch today, and she's in, like, fifth grade or something like that, I'm going to tell her that, you know, this is the way things are, there's a certain institution in place, and, you know, it's not a bad thing, it's not something that we particularly like or follow in our house, but it's a thing, you know.
That makes sense.
And it's just part of... It's stuff that's just going to have to be a part of their childhood, and we kind of just got to, you know, keep them educated about certain things, and fingers crossed that, you know, they don't end up fucked up as an adult.
Yeah, I mean, my worry is, I mean, you say, you know, 8 years max, that's Sophia's entire elementary and middle school education.
Right,
you know,
yeah.
And how much damage can that do? And, you know, obviously, to your point, with what we teach them at home, but, you know, you learn a lot in school. You know what I mean? Like, that's...
Yeah.
There's a lot that you bring home, and that kind of thing just worries me that it's the entire base of, you know, the educational foundation, I guess. For building up into your teen years, could be in an entirely fucked up system.
You know what I just thought of, though. To be honest, like, I agree with you. Like, it would be totally fucked up if that was the situation. You know, the system of politics that's in place is pretty jacked. It's pretty fucked up. But in that regard, when she or when anybody else would start to at least announce or want to institute certain things into schools as a program like that, like, let's say, one religion in particular or something like that, the political process does keep it open for, you know, I mean, how many freaking appeals have there been over certain bills and stuff like that? And when it's in an appeal process and that sort of thing, it takes years. So, you know, as much as it concerns me, I think I have faith in the fucked upness of our system that things won't actually, you know, certain things will get through and certain things won't. So, you know, it's kind of we're gonna play it by ear and just be aware of it, I guess.
Yeah. And I would feel negligent if we did not bring up the events of this past weekend.
Yeah, and, speaking and, of teaching our kids things.
Yeah, and that's my point. You know, as far as I'm aware, because I didn't have the TV on with any of that stuff on, you know, with them around.
Yeah.
You know, the girls aren't aware of any of the events that happened in Charlottesville.
Yeah.
But it, you know, that all this stuff happening here, it makes me horrified, like, to raise my child in, you know, where we're at. And I know, I can honestly say I come from a place of white privilege. I know that. I'm well aware of that.
Right.
So there's a lot of things that I have not experienced that I probably will not experience that my children will not experience. And I am well aware of that. And, you know, obviously I'm grateful that I haven't had to live through a lot of things that, you know, a lot of other people have had to. But this is the way that I'm going about things. When I see so much hate and hate, racism, you know, sexism, I'm trying to teach them as much as possible. And this goes back to when we were at Dad 2.0 in D.C. and Derek Kayongo was speaking.
Yeah.
And his big message was raise inclusive kids. You know?
Right.
And that's, you know, I see all these things happening, and that's what I'm trying to do, is I don't want Sophia and Maddie looking at anybody as different. You know what I mean? I want them looking at, we're all the same. We're all people. It doesn't matter what we look like. It doesn't matter who we worship, who we don't worship, who we love, you know,
and
who we choose to marry.
Right. And I interjected that, and I'm sure somebody else already got to it by the time I did, but there was a thread from a dad blogger that we know, and, you know, we'll remain anonymous for now, you know, because it was in a private group. But they were talking about their personal feelings and that they are kind of at a crossroads trying to decide whether or not to physically go to a rally.
Right.
To protest against these things. Because their spouse doesn't want them to go because it can be a dangerous situation. You know, sometimes violence breaks out like it did this past weekend,
yeah,
that sort of thing. And so this fellow dad blogger was having a real, like, a moral conundrum, basically, of I want to go and be there and support, you know, the process of shutting these people up, basically.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I need to be home with my family and be safe and that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's the balancing the risk versus...
Right.
I don't want to say risk versus reward, because in this kind of thing, there's not a lot of reward.
There's not a lot of reward.
It's just, it's trying to be part of the solution, you know, and being on the front lines of things that are happening. So I understand both sides. I don't know what I would do.
Yeah, but basically what I said was exactly what you were bringing up about Derek Kayongo at Dad 2.0, which is, you know, basically what I said was, you know, I would love to be there. I would love to be protesting against these people, and, you know, if things get violent, then that's a shame. But if, you know, somebody throws a fist at me, I'm going to throw a fist back.
Yeah.
You know, I would love to be there and be a part of that process and stuff like that. But the most important thing that I can do is be here where I'm needed with my family and teach my child to be an inclusive person and to be a better person than these people are.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing. So, I tried to interject that. And, if you guys don't know Derek Kayongo, I can't remember the name of the center he's ahead of. Nick's looking it up. But he's a really great guy. He was a closing keynote speaker at the last Dad 2.0 that we went to. And he just, you know, he comes from a place of poverty, and came up through his entrepreneurial spirit and stuff like that, and has been a really amazing voice for individuality and accepting everybody and that sort of thing. Is that exactly the big topic that we've been talking about over the past couple of days?
Yeah, he's the CEO at the Center for Civil and Human Rights.
Right.
And he's down in Atlanta.
Yeah. Really awesome guy. And he's one of those guys where, you know, even if you pick a fight with him about something, he'll still smile at you and make his point, and it'll be a great point, you know? it seems like there is no way to make this man angry. He is just, he's so awesome.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I'm going to take that lesson, you know, raising inclusive kids, and that's what I'm trying to do with my girls, because, you know, if you raise them to be inclusive, hopefully they take those lessons to heart.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And continue that throughout their lives and in how they treat people.
Yeah. And it's one of those things that makes it very tempting to have 10 children so that I can really make a dent, or at least try to make a dent in the amount of negative asshole people in the universe.
Exactly.
But I don't think that's going to happen. Maybe one more. We'll see. I don't know. We're about to be done paying for daycare, so we're real excited. We're really excited about that, I'm not going to lie. So we'll see. We'll see how that turns out. Real quick, are we in the middle of the show? The end?
We're finishing right now.
We're finishing up. All right, yeah. So make sure you go follow us on all the usual socials, at PBDadcast on the Twitter and Instagram, and Facebook.com/PBDadcast. And we have a new T-shirt.
Yes, we do.
We have some merch. If you are a podcast fan, if you are a podcaster, and if you are a fan of, I guess, alcoholic beverages, we have a new T-shirt that's up on our Amazon store. We shared a link on our Facebook page. It says, Will Podcast for Beer. And, I mean, that basically describes us to a T.
Yeah.
That's great, yeah.
Even if we never got paid a cent for this show, which, I mean, honestly, we've made some. We've made some. We've made a few. If all we did was this and got beer, you know, that's successful.
That's paying off in spades. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's worth the investment on its own.
Exactly.
I want to thank you guys so much for tuning in. If you don't already, remember to go follow us on iTunes. Rate and review and all that good stuff.
Subscribe.
And be safe out there.
Yes.
And don't be an asshole. And teach your kids to not be an asshole.
And just love each other. Whatever the difference is, you know what? We're all the same. I mean, unless you're an asshole, which I guess...
Unless you're an asshole.
It's hard to see past that sometimes, but we try.
If you're being a dick, if you're putting out negativity, then the only thing that will surround you is negativity.
Yeah, exactly.
So, put out positivity. All right, guys, I feel like LeVar Burton right now.
Nice.
Reading Rainbow and, you know, lions and mice and thorns and all that jazz.
Exactly,
you know?
Yes. All right, everyone. You guys have a great week, and we will catch you next week.
Peace.